My name is Grace Elizabeth Minor Lippincott. I was born on March 8, 1879, in the hill town of Cornwall, Connecticut, and I lived 96 years. I was the first child of Alman Lewis Minor and Catherine Lucretia Whitney, whom everyone called Kate. I loved my parents dearly and my grandparents too. I adored the village green, stone walls, and cathedral pines of Cornwall. I did not know at the time how much these memories would become the inspiration for my earliest poetry. My family was proud of its heritage, and I grew up hearing the stories of my accomplished ancestors, from settlers and soldiers to ministers and farmers. I, too, created stories of my own from my treasured memories. As a child, I was not always as well-behaved as my father expected me to be. Once, as a girl, I mounted the wildest horse in the Cornwall stables, placed my younger sister behind me, and galloped off through the snow. When the ride grew too bumpy, I pushed her off into a snowbank to save her from getting more seriously hurt. My father was not pleased. When I was 7, my family moved to Madison with its glorious seashore. We lived here for nearly 10 years near the miners who owned the shipyard at East Wharf. I spent hours watching the shipbuilding and felt great pride in my maternal relatives. It seemed like most of the town would arrive each time a vessel was completed, and I was proud of my maternal relatives, especially at the moments of send-off when the new ships floated effortlessly out to sea. After I finished school, I briefly returned to Cornwall, but at age 17, I married Levi Lippincott, the love of my life. He worked for the railroad, and he was the perfect balance to my whimsical and lofty nature with his steady presence and teasing sense of humor. In one of our earliest memories together, my wedding presents and my friend Irma famously crashed to the floor when a rope bed in our lodging at the old tavern gave way. We built our permanent home at 25 Scotland Avenue, and I named it Whimsy's Acre. There, we raised our two sons, Whitney, who eventually grew his own family in Fairfield, and Minor, who was unable to hear or speak, but who made his living as a painter and an accomplished recreational pilot. It was my honor to raise these children. I always said I was a homemaker with a hobby, but in truth, I could not stop writing. In total, I wrote more than 1,100 poems that were published in newspapers and journals across the country and compiled into books and anthologies. Two of these books were charmingly illustrated by my dear friend, who you will also learn more about today, Mary Louise Scranton Everts. I wrote about the people and places of Madison, and especially of the sea. I was tickled when I was invited by the First Lady of Radio, Mary Margaret McBride, as an over 50 guest to speak of and read my poetry. I would also like to take a minute to tell you about the Fortnightly Club, now known as the Women's Club, which I helped to found in 1900. We began as a small gathering of women committed to literary study and intellectual growth. And within 2 years, we had joined the Connecticut State and National Federation of Women's Clubs, working for civic reform and social improvement. From its earliest decade, our Fortnightly Club demonstrated that it was far more than a literary society. By 1910, we had advocated for the installation of fire escapes on school buildings and pensions for school teachers. As the club's resident poet, I was in charge of the club's literary goals. In our second decade, I managed the wartime publication News from Home, sent overseas to help our soldiers feel remembered and connected to their homeland. To help students develop a deeper understanding of literature and poetry, I implemented 2 recitation events in the schools. The declamation contest was an English department favorite for over a century. Meanwhile, we kept ourselves informed of international affairs including discussions on peace agreements between France and Germany. We even helped to combat elm tree beetle infestations, though these beautiful trees would, in time, be decimated statewide. During World War II, I had the honor of serving as the 11th president of the club. We sold war bonds at the post office and made certain that community members were aware of services provided by veterans and other local hospitals to returning soldiers. I also devoted my efforts to the Madison Historical Society, because our history and ancestry can only be held by our descendants and organizations choosing to devote themselves to collecting these memories. I am tickled that people like you, 200 years after our founding, are striving to understand our lives, our triumphs and travails, and I'm happy to know that you value the treasures and lessons from the past as much as I did.